Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. In the sports world, fans get their insight from their favorite radio show, Calvin and Campbell.
I listen to public radio.
There's Elijah Campbell, an easygoing sports trivia king.
That's a clean burning hell, I tell you what.
And Calvin Smith, the analytics mastermind.
Who ate all the pecan sandies?
This is their show. Calvin and Campbell
on ESPN
102.5 The Game.
Hour number two, Calvin and Campbell here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, live from the Wholesale Inc. studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Our first episode of a post-sport apocalyptic world that we're kind of in right now, minus NFL free agency.
Thank God we have that.
But that will not stop us from not just the show, but our favorite segment of the show. It is time, Calvin, for us to say something.
Say that to me. Say that to anybody. Say that to somebody.
With the best drop in all of sports talk radio. Thank you, Chris Russo.
Oh, yeah. Chris
Captain
Russo.
Kurt pushing the buttons.
Chris Russo making an appearance, as he always does at this time every Saturday.
The Mad Dog.
And I'll go ahead. I'll start us off here. We've talked a lot of NFL free agency, but one of the most impressive signings that we have not talked about yet happened last night when the New Orleans Saints signed Emmanuel Sanders, 2 years, $19 million, and they have finally given Michael Thomas, a number two receiver, not named Ted Ginn, a guy who we talked about, runs in one direction and one direction only.
A straight line, and he's thin, so you can knock him off it.
Yes, it does not take much to knock Ted Ginn off that line, and Ted Ginn hasn't necessarily been accused of having great hands, which as a wide receiver is very important.
I don't nice know. Hands, feet.
Yeah, that is, you could tattoo that on Ted Ginn. Emmanuel Sanders has had a career rejuvenation after a torn Achilles, which is the kiss of death for a lot of athletes.
Clap it up for him. Incredible.
Yeah, an incredible career comeback for Emmanuel Sanders. And if you look at the New Orleans Saints, they're in a division with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who, as we have discussed, signed Tom Brady, making them a little better. Tom Brady's not going to throw 30 picks. We've talked about Tom Brady's production, what it can be, what it can't be. I can tell you one thing. I don't know how many touchdowns he's going to throw. He's not going to throw 30 interceptions. So we can go ahead and establish that as a truth right now. The Buccaneers obviously have really great weapons. The Buccaneers got better. The Carolina Panthers had Kyle Allen as their starting quarterback all last season. Cam Newton can't stay healthy. Cam Newton's honestly had a rough go. A lot of that is not Cam Newton's fault, but Cam Newton has had a rough go. And they signed Teddy Bridgewater. As the New Orleans Saints should know, Teddy Bridgewater, pretty solid quarterback. Speaking of guys who've had career rejuvenation, Teddy Bridgewater's had a really good one as well. He's finally getting his money.
But I thought he had small hands.
That's why he had to wear gloves. Had to wear gloves to make his hands a little bigger. He had the Joe Burrow syndrome. But the Panthers got a little better. And then the Falcons, they're still the Falcons. And they did sign Todd Gurley at minimal risk. I get it. They're only paying $6 million. And Todd Gurley, when he's healthy, disclaimer, he might not be playing more than 10, 11 games, but would make them a little better of an option. They had zero run game last year. Devontae Freeman was a salary cap burden. They finally got rid of that. You're replacing with Todd Gurley, so that is an upgrade at that position. The Falcons will be healthier next year. So the NFC South has gotten better. The Saints needed to do something to revamp that offense now that Drew Brees is coming back. Taysom Hill is going to be back. He's a restricted free agent. If anyone even signs him, the Saints are going to match. They are in love with Taysom Hill.
Randomly. I'm not really sure why, but to each his own.
You get Alvin Kamara back, Latavius Murray, Michael Thomas, Jared Cook. Bringing the band back together is the best thing they could have done, and adding Emmanuel Sanders and getting a legitimate number two receiver for the New Orleans Saints makes them the favorite in the division again. And one of the favorites to make a run in the NFC, in the whole NFC, once again. I don't know if we're saying that if they don't make that upgrade at receiver, because that's one thing that did hurt them in their playoff loss to the Minnesota Vikings, was that they got a little predictable, and no one else could step up offensively. And that's when they made their comeback, was when Taysom Hill was running the ball all over the place, because they had to show different looks, because you know pretty well anytime Michael Thomas is in the game and the ball is being thrown, it's going to his direction. No one caught more passes in a single season in NFL history than Michael Thomas, and probably no one's been targeted more.
And he catches 85% of them.
Exactly. He was the Saints' offense the entire year. That man needs help. Drew Brees needed a little more help, and the Saints got it with Emmanuel Sanders. That might be the most underrated signing of the NFL free agency. That's what I got. That's it. I think the Saints can
say that to me. Say that to anybody. Say it to somebody.
I'm going to go up north for mine.
Oh.
I believe the Buffalo Bills getting Stephon Diggs is a fantastic move for them, because I'm not a big fan of their quarterback at all. Josh Allen, he may have a cannon. He can throw it from here to Birmingham, Alabama.
I heard he's got big hands.
Big hands, looks great in shorts kind of guy. He can throw it a mile. He can't do it accurately, but at least they're committing themselves to surrounding their young quarterback with talent in a window where they have a really, really good defense. Going and getting Stephon Diggs, they paid a really heavy price for him, making Bill O'Brien, again, look really, really bad in Houston. But that's also not very hard to do.
He does it to himself.
The Buffalo Bills surrounding their young quarterback with talent makes them able to compete for that division without Tom Brady in the AFC. Wow. Are you telling me the Patriots may not win that division? The Bills absolutely could be the favorite now that they have Stephon Diggs, if they can prop up Josh Allen enough, because he can throw the ball a mile. Hopefully he can hit John Brown, Cole Beasley, or Stephon Diggs on target enough for that offense to add a different element besides him just running the ball, because that seems to be all he's good for sometimes. But nonetheless, I'm not a big Josh Allen fan. Regardless, the Buffalo Bills making a good move and surrounding a young quarterback with talent despite some clear deficiencies. You saw the Bears try to do it with Mitchell Trubisky. I think Josh Allen's probably better than Mitchell Trubisky, because at least Josh Allen's a really good runner. Mitchell Trubisky, yeah, just kind of...
not a high bar there to clear, so I mean,
just meh.
Yeah, the arm strength will help.
Again,
up there.
Relating that back to the Titans, isn't it nice to have probably almost guaranteed competent quarterback play? Shout out to the Buffalo Bills doing something to maximize their window while they have it right now. That is my say something.
Say that to me. Say that to anybody. Say it to somebody.
Complimenting talking about Buffalo Bills football, not something you expected, but here we are with absolutely no sports going on. Wouldn't I love to be talking about a little bit of March Madness right now?
Oh, my God. Don't even remind me. That's heartbreaking. This is so heartbreaking. That's my favorite sporting event of the sporting calendar. But at least we can make fun of Stephon Diggs being really mad. If he was mad at Kirk Cousins for not giving him the ball, what's he going to think when Josh Allen throws the ball in the stands?
I saw a chart of the completion percentage by depth of target comparing Kirk Cousins and Josh Allen. So one, Kirk Cousins plays indoors. A tremendous asset, upside advantage for Kirk Cousins. But Josh Allen, terrible downfield completion percentage. Kirk Cousins, actually solid. We're both Kirk Cousins stands here on the show. I like Kirk Cousins enough to
think
he's good.
We're on an island. I swear, we are on an island. We have taken refuge on Kirk Cousins' island, and we're the only one. It's population too.
Josh Allen completes an incredibly low percentage of his passes the further he gets downfield, and it just decreases at a sad rate. But at least he's got a big arm.
Yeah, I like how you mentioned that he can throw the ball to Birmingham, Alabama. However, he might have been aiming for Atlanta, Georgia. So that's the biggest problem with Josh Allen. But as we sit here in the Wholesaling Studios powered by RumbleOn.com, we got two TVs going on, none of which are playing live sports, but are doing what many networks are doing, and that is playing classic game reruns. So which ones are you watching? Which ones would you be interested in watching? We'll get into that on the other side here on Calvin Campbell on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Welcome to Fantasy Island.
Math sucks. Math sucks.
Math sucks. This is for you, Calvin.
This is the funniest song in the world.
Math sucks.
Jimmy Buffett.
Math sucks. Oh, man. This one's... didn't. We were today years old when we found out it was Jimmy Buffett who
yes.
who sang this song, and I've never wanted to bully you harder in my life than hearing this song right now.
Math Sucks by Jimmy Buffett. I think we heard this the first time we heard Math Sucks. It was some Twitter video, and it's just completely random.
Oh yeah, and then we came in here. I don't know what even prompted it. We found it, and yeah, had to get that out there. We had to bully you on this show some way somehow. People on radio can't watch me shove you into a locker. They can only listen to me patronize you over the airwaves.
Oh, man.
Which we don't have a lot of options in terms of stuff to do because there's no sports. The NFL, NBA on pause. NHL on pause. The MLS on pause. Yes, yes. Boo all
boo
of that.
The coronavirus.
COVID-19. Boo. The NCAA tournament. Done. It's dead. Oh, it's canceled. And we should, like you've mentioned before the break, we should be talking about the second round of the NCAA tournament, which would have been starting today. But instead, on the TV right now, on ESPN2, is the 2018 McDonald's All-American game. And for those of you wondering, the East is leading the West 124-120 with 2.5 minutes left. Sorry, West fans.
Whoa.
Yeah. But a lot of sports television networks have to resort to just showing old games. Another TV we have here in the studios, in the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com on MLB TV, is Mariners-Yankees. I think that was 97?
I didn't catch the year. I haven't really looked at that TV.
Yeah,
it's not CNBC, so.
Yeah, it's not CNBC, so it's not catching your attention. But it's showing an old Mariners-Yankees postseason classic. A lot of networks are resorting to this, so that brings me to this. I want to ask you, Calvin. If you could pick which old sporting event you can rewatch timelessly over and over again that you can watch, because I'm not one of those guys that can just watch a ton of replays
no,
all the time.
Neither
if
am
I've
I.
already seen the game and know the outcome, I'm interested a little bit. If it's basketball specifically, just because I like watching plays and watching the nuanced things, the result isn't what I'm watching for. But if there's one sporting event that even though you know what's coming, you would turn your attention to that and pay 100% attention to that sporting event, what would catch your attention?
Yeah, see, I'm not a replay guy either. Honestly, I'm not even sure I've ever really sat down and watched a full replay of a sporting event. Like, I
really?
Just can't do it. But at the same time, I'm also not a movie rewatcher. I'm also not a TV show rewatcher. Like, I rewatched Mindhunter and Ozark, but those are just really good shows. So replays, not really my thing. Same with books as well when I read books. But obviously, I'm going to go to The Miracle on Ice.
Okay.
We just celebrated the 40th anniversary. Like, that is my favorite thing in the world. We talked about that extensively mm-hmm. a few weeks ago. I could go watch mostly that movie, but mm-hmm. just the history involved in that, everything politically around the world going on, just it's such a great story, all culminated in one sporting event.
Mm-hmm.
So
well
I could rewatch that anytime. Also, there was a very, very traumatic event that happened on October 5th, 2012, in the sports world for me, as a Braves fan.
Oh.
Do you know where I'm going? 2012 National uh-huh. League wildcard game. Atlanta Braves facing the St. Louis Cardinals. I grew up a Braves fan.
Mm-hmm.
Loved the Braves.
A lot of people
Braves
around here
team
do.
Who had
yeah.
potential.
Popular team around here.
That is the infield fly rule game. If you're a Braves fan, you absolutely know what I'm talking
yeah.
about. If you're a Cardinals fan, you know what I'm talking about. The infamous infield fly rule game. Part of me wants to rewatch that.
You're a masochist.
Just because I want to get really, really mad at it.
Because
I remember that call. I'm reading the Wikipedia page right now. The umpire, Sam Holbrook, made the call. The game was televised on TBS.
Scapegoat.
So, rewatching the Braves 2012 National League wildcard game where they got screwed by the infield fly rule. That would be, well, the Miracle on Ice
yeah.
and then that. Because what are sports if you're not getting crazy angry at your team?
That's true. How, as a lifelong Saints fan, I don't think I could watch the NFC Championship game last year. I couldn't. Because I will break something. And I can't go out and replace it because we're all quarantined at home.
Yeah.
So, and I don't want my roommates thinking I'm crazy for yelling. But that would, I couldn't do that to myself. I couldn't watch a game like that in which I had an obvious emotional investment and knew my team was going to lose, especially in a way that they were getting hosed by an official, whether it be
yep.
the infield fly rule or an obvious pass interference that was not called in the last
It was also Chipper Jones'
minutes.
Final game.
Oh, yeah. Oh, even worse. Even worse. See, I couldn't do that to myself. I suffered enough watching that event, those events live, that I could not do that. Other events that grew up a UT football fan, I couldn't watch the choke at Florida a couple of years ago. Butch Jones, what, that was the second season?
I could rewatch every single game of Butch Jones' coaching career.
Oh, man.
Granted, I'm not the biggest UT Vols fan out there.
I suffered enough.
Here's what I'll do. Since I'm not a big replay person, I don't want to rewatch something I've already seen. I am a Georgia Tech student. So I will go watch all of my Yellow Jackets games from the past 5 years.
Okay.
Get well-versed on the team, the culture. Learn that triple option offense like it's the back of my hand, even though they don't run it anymore. Shout out to Jeff. Shout out to Jeff Collins.
Are you really, you're going to subject yourself? See, if Georgia Tech did not run an archaic triple option offense, I might believe that you would actually do that. But I think you would give it one quarter before you're yelling, "Throw the ball! Throw it! What are you doing? It's 3rd and 18 at your TV." I can just see that happening, and then you rage quitting and turning your TV off after two quarters of triple option football. Yeah.
That is the most likely scenario to happen, yes.
Yeah.
But, hey, maybe I'll get bored and I won't want to do schoolwork, and then I will, you know, let's see what Georgia Tech highlights look like.
Or maybe.
Really, the most likely thing is I just dive into 247sports.com and learn everything about every Georgia Tech recruit they signed in their last class.
Maybe. Or here's a wild card that might happen to you. You watch enough Georgia Tech. You actually commit to watching triple option football. You have a little bit of cabin fever from staying in your room for a couple weeks because of the quarantine or whatever. And eventually you let out a tweet saying, maybe the Titans signing Derrick Henry to a long-term deal isn't so bad after all. And then we're calling the police to make sure you're not kidnapped.
If I ever say that, I'm serious now, okay? You've been to my house before.
Okay, yeah, I know where you live.
I need you to call everybody in my family. And I need you to come get me, because I'm not okay.
I'm not okay. I'll tweet out your address, so everyone else can see you.
Yes,
okay,
that'll help. And my phone number, so people can call in and check on me. And while you're at it, follow me on Twitter, at Smith A. Calvin. Shameless.
Shameless plug. A Twitter account in which you will never see that tweet. I've thought about this, because there's going to be a lot of boredom over this time period. And I'm still mourning the loss of my precious NCAA tournament. So I've thought about going back and watching some of the old classics. CBS is doing an awesome job of saying that they're going to broadcast some of old reruns of some classic games. Tonight is the 1982 National Championship game between North Carolina and Georgetown. Yep. Michael Jordan's coming out party. It's a game-winning jumper at the very end of the game as a freshman. Like I said, they won a national title. It was one of the premier events that put Michael Jordan on the map. That would be a fun one, even though I think watching basketball without a three-point line is one of the weirdest things on the planet. But
I don't think I could do that.
We're already existing during one of the weirdest things to ever happen to the planet, so like, why not? Why not get a little weird and watch some no three-point basketball? Would love to do that. And some other ones. I actually have on DVD the 2003 National Championship game between Syracuse and Kansas. Big Carmelo.
On DVD? Just that
on
game?
On DVD. I have a copy. It's one of those, you know, like when a team wins a national championship or a Super Bowl or whatever, they make like those commemorative DVDs.
Yeah, yeah.
And
I have the Vanderbilt one where they won the SEC championship in basketball with John Jenkins.
Oh, man. Yeah. I'm going to have to bum that
from that
you.
Team, dude.
I'm going to have to bum that one from you. That was a fun team. That was a really fun team. John Jenkins, probably one of the best high school basketball players I have ever seen with my own two eyes. In person, dude.
Oh, absolutely.
Was automatic at the high school level. I think he averaged like 45 points a game his senior year at station camp.
Oh, yeah. Five stars.
He was the National Gatorade Player of the Year in basketball. Yes. Dude could hoop. Man, he was probably a little ahead of his time. Now the team shoot 53s a game. It'd be nice to have a John Jenkins on your squad somewhere.
Who can only shoot.
And he's a one-trick pony, but now it is a very coveted trick. Oh, man, I might have to bum that from you.
Okay.
But I do have the Syracuse one where they beat Kansas in 2003. And that's actually a replay I've watched a couple times just because I have it. And that's watching Carmelo Anthony as a freshman win the national title against Kirk Heinrich and Nick Collison at Kansas.
Okay. Very Nick Collison.
Yeah, very good Kansas team. Not Bill Self coach Kansas team. Can you guess who was coaching?
Ooh.
Legendary coach. Had a really bad year this year. Oh, Captain Kurt's raising his
Captain
hand right
Kurt's
there.
Got
Captain
it.
Kurt.
Roy Williams.
Bingo.
Oh.
Roy Williams was coaching Kansas. Give Captain Kurt a round of applause. Let's give Captain Kurt a round of applause from downtown at the buzzer.
Like a John Jenkins three right
like
there.
Like a John Jenkins corner three, which
anywhere
would be
on,
so valuable.
Anywhere on his side of the court's in range.
Oh, exactly. Captain Kurt does not miss, ladies and gentlemen. Captain Kurt does not miss. And on the other side of this, we've talked about what we want to watch, you know, in terms of replays and reruns. But eventually, sports are going to come back. Eventually. I don't want to speculate on how long. It's not a matter of if or when. We'll get into a little AFC South discussion. Bill O'Brien's an idiot. The Titans re-signed Ryan Tannehill. The Colts got Phillip Rivers. There's actually some sports to look forward to. So instead of looking behind this next segment, we'll look ahead here on the other side of Calvin Campbell here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey Nashville, this is Ryan Porth. As you're bottled up in your self-quarantine, you can still tune us in anywhere, anytime. Stream us at thegamenashville.com. Download the Game Nashville app. Enable your smart speaker and ask Alexa to play 102.5 The Game. While you listen, join us in social distance.
Welcome back in, Calvin and Campbell on ESPN 102.5 The Game. I am Elijah Campbell at E_Campbell3 on Twitter. Joined with Calvin Smith at Smith A. Calvin in the Twitter sphere. And behind the glass playing the sick Beatles tunes is Captain Kurt, who also one trivia king recognized another trivia king. He's one for one on the day. Like we said,
Roy Williams, coach of Kansas.
Man, don't miss. But time to look forward a little bit, because one of the few things we can do here in this weird sports time, and there's been a lot of news, obviously, in the Titans division. We talked about the Titans specifically in hour number one, but there are other teams in the division. One team is self-imploding, and that is the Houston Texans.
I'd say there's two. The Jags?
The Jags. Well, they've been doing that for a while.
Yeah, true.
The Houston Texans self-imploding has been more news because, I guess, it's been more shocking news. I mean, it's been a slow build, a slow grind for the Houston Texans to eventually get to this point where they're just absolutely blowing themselves up. Oh, I laugh as I see Kevin Love on the screen.
Kevin Love and O.J. Mayo.
Yeah, ESPN2 is airing an old McDonald's All-American game, and Kevin Love is unrecognizable.
We're trying to do the sports talk thing, but at the same time, they play these old games, and it's like, O.J. Mayo. Wow.
O.J. Mayo. And Kevin Love looked like that. Oh, but yeah. But one team, self-imploding slowly, the Houston Texans, and the Jaguars have done, the London Jags, have done everything they can do to, A, not only ruin their product, but to move it out of the continent. So the Jaguars have been doing this for a while. That one isn't as much news. But the Indianapolis Colts, might get into this one a little bit, because they signed a man named Phillip Rivers. Phillip Rivers, obviously career-long Charger. Another guy, it's gonna, like Tom Brady, it's going to be really freaking weird to see this guy in another uniform. Yes. That is not a San Diego / LA Charger uniform.
Yes.
No bolt on the helmet. Instead, he's replacing it with a horseshoe. Calvin, I'd like to know specifically what this does for the Colts, and does this make them better? Is this an upgrade over Jacoby Brissett?
Jacoby Brissett, I think, is fine. But I do think Phillip Rivers is an upgrade from the standpoint of having been as successful as he's been in the NFL, his ability to be under center in shotgun, have everything in the position where it's ready to go for what he wants to a pretty precise tune. He's worked with Frank Reich before. Frank Reich, QB whisperer, one of the best offensive minds in the NFL, in my opinion. One of the hotshot coaches still, even though he's been doing it for a couple of years. The Colts are primed to make a run at some point. If Andrew Luck hadn't retired, the Titans probably wouldn't be in the playoffs.
Yeah, you could say they could have made that run this past year.
The Titans wouldn't have been in the playoffs.
Yeah, and I'm like you. I think Jacoby Brissett is fine, but obviously he's not Andrew Luck. Losing Andrew Luck hurt a lot. And that Colts team last year was a really, really good football team. Lost some bad games late. And I think a lot of it has to do with Jacoby Brissett being competent, but maybe not good enough to get them over that hump, whereas Andrew Luck is obviously.
And the injury to T.Y. Hilton. I think they could stand to add another receiver as well. However,
probably have to, because none of those guys stayed healthy. Even Paris Campbell.
Yes.
Couldn't stay healthy.
Promising rookie who was not healthy. I think they will add another receiver in this incredibly receiver-deep draft class that they have here. But their defense is stacked still.
Still,
they can play. Malik Hooker roaming around free safety. They traded for DeForest Buckner, traded the 13th overall pick in the draft. Let me tell you, they could have gotten a really good receiver with that pick and just completely made their offense good to go. But DeForest Buckner is the second highest paid defensive tackle in the NFL now behind,
for a reason,
behind Aaron Donald. Very good player.
And DeForest Buckner is one of the reasons that 49ers team was so nasty. I know we talked about Nick Bosa. I love Nick Bosa. I love watching him play. I think he is one of the most electric players in all of football right now. But DeForest Buckner really was a huge impact player and difference maker on that defense. You can't run on that team. No one can run on that team. That line, as a unit, was easily the best in football, and that was the reason they got to the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah. Well, Jimmy G wasn't the guy who was spearheading them to the Super Bowl.
He wasn't spearheading them, but he did get a lot better when they did trade for Emmanuel Sanders. But, and of course, he's now in New Orleans. But DeForest Buckner to Indianapolis is also really enticing. And when it comes to Phillip Rivers, it's an unknown. Because Phillip Rivers, I think he's had some of his worst. He's looked worse. His decision-making, he's always been kind of a riskier, or aggressive quarterback.
That hideous throwing style.
Gross. Yeah, it has never been fixed. And that's just who Phillip Rivers is. He's not fixing anything at this point in his career.
And he doesn't need to, because he's probably a future Hall of Famer.
Exactly. I'd say he is. There's no way he's
yes.
not. Very successful. But probably the most underrated quarterback of our time, because he's never been.
Which is a shame. Which is a shame, because for the last few years with the Chargers, this is what kind of gets into his interception problem. Mm-hmm. The Chargers couldn't block worth a lick in front of him. Now, granted, Phillip Rivers is going to be erratic. Yes, he's still going to throw interceptions with the Indianapolis Colts, of course, but they have one of the best offensive lines in the NFL. I think Phillip Rivers stands to be pretty good with the Colts. And honestly, in terms of talking about way too early predictions for a season we're not even sure is going to happen on schedule at this point because of how crazy everything is right now.
We talked about that. It's going to be a fluid situation for weeks, but we can always pretend that it hasn't ruined everything.
And you know what this is? This is sports talk radio. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make an outlandish and bold prediction and say the Colts are going to win the AFC South.
Whoa. Like, you know what? I want to skip that on Say Something, and I'm just going to completely save this to bomb later in the show. So you have the Colts already.
So welcome to the world where there's nothing going on, and I'm predicting the winner of the AFC South 10 months out.
That's amazing. Wow. Well, we don't have enough time for me to get into my 2025 predictions that I have when we eventually start playing sports again, but they're a little outlandish. Some of them might be some hot takes. We can get to that another day. But when it comes to the AFC South, I don't think it's crazy that you think the AFC South can be won by the Indianapolis Colts, because obviously they address some key issues. They're going to have to get healthy, but now's the time to get healthy. I mean, they're not going to be on a football field anytime soon.
They can't even work out.
Yeah, they can't.
Which
even
actually
work
doesn't
out.
Bode well for anybody's health,
but nobody can
work out.
Levels the playing field, I guess. If no one can do that, then I guess it levels the playing field for everybody. However, I think I still got to go Titans right now, and this is a lot depending on what happens in the draft. I still think the Titans could be in the market for Jadeveon Clowney.
They could very well.
And I think that really helps. And imagine the AFC South. It'll be a two-horse race, obviously, because I think the Texans are done without DeAndre Hopkins. Will Fuller's a good receiver, and he was a big part of that offense. But he can't stay healthy. That guy's played like five games in the last 3 years. I mean, he's been great in those five games, but he's only played like five of them. But obvious hyperbole, but I still like the Titans if they make those moves for Clowney and they draft maybe a Marlon Davidson and they refill that position. They
revamp the defensive line, because I think that's where actually, I'm really worried about corner for the Titans right now.
Well, yeah, they could still get Logan Ryan back. I'm not giving up hope on not bringing back Logan Ryan, because like we mentioned, if you don't get Jadeveon Clowney, you still have $13 million in additional cap space. Mm-hmm. The Titans aren't necessarily in cap hell more than they are cap purgatory. They're like, what, 13th in cap space in the league right now?
I think they got up a little bit more with letting Jarrell Casey go, but somewhere around there, right? The numbers can really move around a lot based on what you do.
Yeah, they can move around pretty fast. And the Titans have options. That's the best thing. They have options. They can obviously get better. But if
Oh, yeah.
The Indianapolis Colts gotten better. And I think that's a fair point to say.
And they both still have the draft. And that's obviously where you're going to learn everything about what's to come next season, because who gets that one impact rookie? The Titans got one last year in Jeffrey Simmons.
And A.J. Brown.
Oh, duh. I cannot believe
that. That wasn't even the first round. That wasn't even the first round. They got A.J. Brown in the second.
And A.J. Brown should have been.
Yeah, we need to talk about that, too. We need to talk about how A.J. Brown definitely got hosed. I get it. Kyler Murray had a good year. He's going to have an even better year next year since he has been
gifted. Give me all the Kyler Murray. Give me all of that.
Gifted DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, that's an early Christmas present from Bill O'Brien.
Given the situation of receivers in this Tennessee offensive system, A.J. Brown doing what he did was nothing short of spectacular.
Yeah, and I just thought he was more productive.
Especially for how much opportunity he was provided, because this was not an offense that is going to give you a lot of opportunity, right? That's something Kyler Murray had a lot of. And Kyler Murray definitely was more valuable because he plays the position of quarterback. And if you just play well, and he did play well as a quarterback, you're just going to carry more value than anybody else. But for the situation A.J. Brown was put in, one as a rookie, two in a crazy quarterback situation, three in an offense that's not going to throw the ball more than 20 times in a game, he absolutely blew everything out of the water and hit 1,000 yards on basically no catches.
And he wasn't supposed to be the leading receiver.
Oh, no.
The Titans were still waiting. Yeah, the Titans were sitting and waiting on a guy named Corey Davis to be that number one receiver. And A.J. Brown said, whatever, dude, I'm just going to take it. And
just
I
throw me a slant. Let me go 80 yards.
Yes, throw me a slant, and I'll outrun everybody and break tackles. I'll just be a monster with the football in my hands.
On four catches.
Yeah, on four catches, then I'll take an end around to the house if I don't catch a ball in a game. And then this is what A.J. Brown brought. So there was definitely some hosing there. And I'm still a little salty. I'm glad you brought that up because we could rehash that out of there. Because I don't think we've ever talked about that on our show, whether it be the kickoff or Calvin and Campbell.
Nope.
How A.J. Brown did get criminally robbed because he wasn't even first in Rookie of the Year voting, nor was he even second, because people still thought Josh Jacobs was more valuable than A.J. Brown.
Josh Jacobs got hurt.
He got hurt. It was productive, but for the Raiders, they were terrible. It was an ugly offense.
The Tennessee Titans don't make the playoffs if A.J. Brown is not the receiver he was.
Yeah.
That's an absolute fact.
The Raiders suck, and they still suck with Josh Jacobs.
They were
with
a fraudulently playoff picture team.
Oh, my God. Yeah. They shouldn't have even been close. They got really lucky. They sucked with Josh Jacobs. They sucked without Josh Jacobs. End of story with Josh Jacobs on the Oakland Raiders. We come back. It's another one of our special segments. It's what we're smelling on the sports weekend. Usually that has something to do with the sports calendar and live sports. We're going to have to get creative this time. We're going to tell you what we're sniffing for this weekend in sports. Here on the other side, Calvin Campbell, ESPN, 102.5 The Game.
Do you smell it? That smell. The kind of smelly smell. The smelly smell that smells. Smelly.
Ooh, that smell. The smell of that
we smell, smell that smell, Calvin. That smell that surrounds you. It's not going to involve live sports this weekend.
And the smell is not you either.
And it's not me. Well, okay. I had to check. I had to do a quick check. I had just a quick one, because at first I was like, no, it can't be me. And then I doubted myself. But coming up today, actually, at 1, we will be starting here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, the re-airing of the elimination of the Chicago Blackhawks dynasty by your Nashville Predators. Starting at 1 o'clock, we'll start with Game 1, the 2017 first round of the Western Conference playoffs.
The Preds did something pretty cool that year. They went to the Stanley Cup. You didn't know if you knew.
Yeah, so if you're...
relive times where we could be on Broadway together. And be within 6 feet of each other.
Yeah. And Pecorine shutting out the Blackhawks in
dramatic
Chicago,
fashion.
Dramatic fashion. This whole ending a dynasty, even. I said franchise, really. Dynasty. I mean, the Blackhawks haven't been the same since. And before that, they were the dynasty in the NHL at the time. Pretty cool. If you want to relive the majestic voice of Pete Weber calling those games, you can hear that on our airwaves starting at 1 p.m. But in a sportsless, live sportsless weekend, Calvin, what are you smelling these upcoming days?
I am smelling some reading.
Oh, smelling some books.
Yes. I actually, before this
all
hit.
Get your nose in a book.
put my nose in some books. I got a book for Christmas I'm finishing up. And then, see, this is so boring. This is what's come to in radio. I'm telling you what I'm reading.
Yeah.
I got a book for Christmas.
We can start a book club on this show.
Hey, if anybody wants to start a book club, tweet at me and Elijah. We will start a book club.
We have recommendations. I've already got stacks on stacks that I've been meaning to read that I save for the summers
exactly.
when I usually do a majority of my reading because, you know, in March I'm a little busy with the NCAA tournament. I'm a little busy when the NBA playoffs roll around. And around here, when the NHL playoffs roll around, we get a little busy around here with the
super
National
busy.
Predators. So it might be book club time, but I have something that I've been reading and wanting to read.
What book?
Right now, I am finishing up Loose Balls by Terry Pluto. It is a history of the American Basketball Association.
Oh, okay.
And it is a collection of oral stories. They have chapters like George Gervin signing with the San Antonio Spurs, an entire chapter on the dysfunction of the Virginia Squires, a team that barely was able to stay above water, and they had to sell off some of their best players like George Gervin and Dr. J and some of the best players that end up being some of the best players in NBA history because they were so poorly run, like every team in the ABA was. It was a completely dysfunctional organization, but they were also revolutionary by inventing the three-point line, All-Star Weekend with dunk contests and three-point contests. The NBA benefited from the ABA being quirky and weird, and that's what the whole book's
just
about.
Like the NFL will from the XFL.
Yeah, and that's a point I've always wanted to make, but I actually haven't made or connect those dots until now. And the NBA never took the ABA seriously. They thought it was like a Mickey Mouse league. They really didn't respect the ABA at all, and they would scrimmage during the off seasons, and ABA teams whip up on teams like the Boston Celtics. Kentucky Colonels had a couple of Hall of Famers on their teams. Dan Issel, Artis Gilmore, one of my favorite classic basketball players of all time. So that's one I recommend. I'm wrapping it up. I've almost finished it. But yeah, Loose Balls by Terry Pluto, A History of the American Basketball Association. Highly recommend it.
So book club at Smith A. Calvin, at E underscore Campbell 3 on Twitter. Get at us. We're starting Calvin and Campbell's book club here.
That's right.
I am currently reading Too Big to Fail, the chronicling
of
the 2008 financial crisis. Very relevant given the times we're in.
That is getting more and more relevant each day.
Because if you have a 401k, you have some exposure to mutual funds or something, boy, tweet at me because I want to talk about it. Book club, Calvin and Campbell. There's a lot on the agenda.
What's one that you have lined up that you're really looking forward
to? So really, I have two I'm working on right now. It's Too Big to Fail and then The Inequality Trap, which is a book about global economic inequality from an economics perspective. It's pretty niche. And the other ones are all of along that same line about the role of – not the role, the influence of capitalism on global economic growth and things like that, as specifically pertaining to income inequality and things like that throughout the developing world and how it's kind of developed in the age of globalization. So there is my very niche interest outside
of sports.
Very specific,
yeah.
Very, very
makes
specific.
My head hurt a little bit. Makes us normal people – makes our head hurts because math sucks.
Math sucks. And the other one is The Cost-Benefit Revolution, which is written by someone who used to work in the Obama administration about how we should be devoted a little bit more towards quantitative analysis of cost benefits or quantitatively measuring and using cost-benefit analysis to craft public policy. There's my political statement of the day, cost-benefit mathematical analysis.
And, of course, it had to involve math or it wouldn't be a statement by you. I've also been reading a little bit of 7 Seconds or Less, a book about the mid-2000s Phoenix Suns, about their run-and-gun offense. I love Mike D'Antoni, and it's peeling the curtain back. Jack McCollum, famous Sports Illustrated writer.
Yep.
He chronicled the Dream Team. He chronicled a lot of the most important moments in NBA history. Spent an entire year on the road with the Phoenix Suns. So it peels back the curtain of how Steve Nash functioned. It was Steve Nash's second MVP season. Steve Nash, on what he did, you know, off the floor, what these guys were like, what coaches' meetings with Mike D'Antoni and Mark Iveroni and Alvin Gentry, who was coaching the New Orleans Pelicans now, how they all interacted in team meetings, what they game planned for, how they planned to stop Kobe Bryant in the first round of the playoffs that year. Really interesting way to peel back that layer of sports that people don't have access to.
It's really cool when a good author, a good journalist can take you inside a room through words on the page. Because obviously we don't have the benefit of being there and seeing these stories be crafted as they happen. The behind-the-scenes stuff, the role of the media is to give access to as many things as we can get.
Especially in sports.
But that you just can't have access to everything. And then once you can look back on them in the past, you can understand fully the scope and sometimes the ingenious decisions that were made in the moment. And you can say, wow, they got really lucky, or, oh my gosh, how did they know that was going to happen? That's brilliant.
Yeah. Oh, it's awesome. Especially for someone like me who's really interested in the X's and O's of basketball. It gets really into the nitty-gritty stuff like that, just because Jack McCollum's been forced to live with these guys basically for an entire basketball season. That's one thing to be smelling. I like that. Get your nose in some books. Let's educate ourselves.
Read, nerds.
And I'm getting, one other thing I'm smelling, I'm getting myself into the college basketball March Madness spirit by replaying the 2009 NCAA tournament on my old Xbox 360.
Boom.
I flip a coin to determine who I play with. We let God decide. And then, determining on who I am, I determine the difficulty from there. So far, we're in the Sweet 16. It's gotten wild. Two number ones have already gone down. I'm getting my March fever in that way, living vicariously through this game. And it also makes me sad at the same time. It's a little fun when you're quarantined. It's also a little depressing knowing that we're not actually going to get this event this season.
I'll tell you this before we get out of here. March 27th, one of my new favorite shows, Ozark, season 3 comes out.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I'm freaking amped. That's what I smell.
Oh, yeah. That's going to keep you occupied for a good little bit. I need to get me a show. I'm not a good TV show watcher.
Well, we both enjoyed Mindhunter.
Mindhunter was very good, and I watched that really quickly. I got hooked to Mindhunter. So I hope everyone here listening, thank you for listening, and hopefully you can find a show or an old classic game. Hey, the 2008 McDonald's All-American Games on ESPN2 right now. There's a thick Kevin Love and O.J. Mayo headlining. We got to find ways to make ourselves get our sports fix in this really, really weird time. Everybody be safe. Please wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Yada, yada, yada. You've heard all of it. But until then, Calvin and Campbell will be back next week. Same time, same place. Be safe.